Oh, thank you, Shane. Evening, Steve. Evening, listeners.
How you going?
Good. Yourself?
Getting there. Still a bit disappointed from last week, but we'll bounce back.
I'm sure we will. We'll ask Macca some of those vexing questions later in the program after 6:40 tonight. Does Queensland have enough depth to make changes? Can the Maroons win back the series? Queensland are not used to back-to-back series losses. The last time it happened was in 2004-2005. Is Kevin Walters' job under threat? Interesting.
Especially when you pay the coach whisperer all that money and didn't really pay off, did it?
You get belted, well and truly. And, of course, will there be any more changes for the Blues? There probably will be, but we'll talk and ask Macca those questions just after 6:40. But we're just getting Amy Bock online because we're going to talk all things women's rugby league with Amy Bock. And, of course, Amy, the NRL Development Officer on the Sunshine Coast. So we're certainly looking forward to chatting with Amy. And it looks like we've been very successful in getting Amy live online. And a warm welcome to you tonight on The Grapple, Amy.
Gordon, how are you all?
We're good, thank you. And I suppose we need to start off, Amy, and I know this is going to hurt. Well done to Shane Moon because he picked New South Wales.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, none of us do.
It doesn't exist.
Well, if enough, well, you've picked something right for once.
Yeah.
Only once.
Only
give
once.
Him one.
Give him one.
Give him one.
That's it. Well, Amy, great for you to join us online. Of course, last weekend was the rep round, and that included the women. And on Friday night, 10,515 fans at North Sydney Oval watched the first ever under-18s interstate clash. And unfortunately, it was a win to the Blues 24-4 over Queensland.
Again.
Yeah, New South were good. We're probably, as a state, a touch behind there. They've got a pretty solid under-18s happening down New South Sydney and that. And it's sort of something that Queensland's in the process of getting sorted. And you can see that Friday night, just more girls played more regular football. Some good, there's some talent coming through. It's promising in general, but yeah, Queensland's got some work to do. Had Tegan Barry scored the intercept try. She was lightning fast. So that was good to see that skill coming through, but obviously a disappointing result.
For Queensland, well, the Blues piled on three entertaining tries. They led 12-0 at half time, but it's certainly a great starting point for young women wanting to make their pathway in elite rugby league, Amy.
Yeah, for sure. As I said, it's a bit of a hole in the Queensland pathway at the moment, that under-18 gap. It's just across the state something we've got to get right. But to be able to have that there for the girls to aim at and keep them in the game after under-16s and know that, you know, if they're in the right playing footy and you know, keeps them fit, keeps them keen and involved in the game, and it's only going to improve our higher level football, keeping those under-18s playing to a high level. So it's exciting stuff for the game.
And, of course, they'll then flow through to the women's state of origin. And, of course, New South Wales, another win, 14-4 over Queensland with Maddie Studden. She certainly had a great game for the Blues.
She did, Maddie. She's had a few knockers over the last couple of years and obviously didn't play for the Roosters, got cut from their grand final side and that sort of thing. So congratulations to her on a comeback of sorts, I suppose. Proved a few of the knockers wrong, and she was outstanding. Really controlled her side and steered them around the park well. Queensland, a couple of injuries in camp that knocked them around a bit, and then a few on the night, just a few players that carried injuries in that just couldn't. It was a frustrating game to watch. As patches, we were sort of there or thereabouts, but New South definitely deserved the win. They were good.
Well, Queensland led 4-0 at half-time after second rower Tasman Gray scored the only try of a fast and furious first half, so it was a bit of an arm wrestle.
Yeah, it was a pretty tight match. A little bit of drop ball, but not too bad. But, just a few. This looked to me like the Queensland halves didn't quite gel. Ali Brinshot obviously had a bit of an injury scare during the week, and it looked to me like she wasn't 100% fit going in. But it sort of backed her experience. But, yeah, the New South are very mobile forward pack and very fit side and sort of come over the back of us, over the top of us there in the second half. So there's work there for the Queenslanders to do in general, but we're not that far away. So, it was good stuff.
Yes, it certainly was a great game. And, of course, 10,000 fans, great TV ratings, and no doubt that will be on the calendar again next year.
Yeah, for sure. The 10,000 fans is outstanding. I think they were sort of hoping for 8,000 and to get 10,500, that's phenomenal. So the sort of reports are it's outgrown North Sydney and well, hopefully the game will come north of the border next year. So it'll be interesting to see where they play it. I think Sunshine Coast Stadium would be amazing. But anyway, as long as we get one in Queensland, because New South had it 3 years in a row down there now, so that's not real fair. So get it back north of the border so we can find a good place to play it.
Exactly right. Maybe we could take them out to Raymer or something.
Yeah, somewhere like that even. What's Redcliffe hold on a...
10,000.
Yeah, so, and I think it's a great stadium. Yeah, you don't want to put 10,000 into Suncorp because it looks empty. You want a full 10,000 or... Yeah, somewhere that can hold 15 or 20. So I'd be thinking Redcliffe, maybe Robina. They played down there a couple of years ago, and it's 23. So, yeah, if you can get, 10, 15,000 into the Gold Coast there, you might. I don't know. But that's for people further up the food chain than me to decide, but it's definitely got to come back to Queensland.
The power brokers will determine that, Amy, the power brokers.
Yes.
As they're called. Now, Saturday, of course, Kiwi Ferns Centre, Kiana Takarangi, followed in her brother Brad's footsteps, scoring for New Zealand on her debut. They beat Samoa 46-8 over there at Mount Smart.
I didn't get to see any of the Saturday's football. I was participating in the Baduri Nines. From all reports, some good quality football, and good to see these other teams starting to get women's football at an international level. So obviously the Kiwi Ferns have been around for years, but as far as I know, Samoa's first women's side. Obviously Kiwi's just too experienced, but it's great to have those pathways for those Samoan girls both playing at home, and there's obviously plenty of Samoan heritage running around in Australia and New Zealand leagues. So I'd look to them to strengthen, similar to the male teams, I'd look to them to strengthen in the next couple of years.
Well, Fiji, of course, on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval in Sydney, they celebrated their maiden women's international debut. They beat Papua New Guinea 28-0. That's the Papua New Guinea Orchids. And they led 12-0 in the first half with two converted tries. So, again, another introduction to international women's rugby league there with Fiji participating, Amy.
Yeah, and same as Samoa, Fiji, they're only going to get stronger and that off the back of this. Papua New Guinea, they've obviously been around for a couple of years, but as a whole, women's sport in Papua New Guinea, to get them represented on this national level is phenomenal. What those women are doing just for women's rights in PNG and that, forget about sport, but just female, empowerment in general is phenomenal. So we need to ensure they keep building and developing their brand and that, because what those ladies do out there is phenomenal. And Fiji, same as Samoa, there'd be plenty of Fijian heritage running around in the local competitions in Australia and New Zealand. So I think once more girls realise that this is a pathway for them and these games become more regular, you'll see those sides really strengthen and start to push Australia and New Zealand and obviously England and Canada when they're around as well.
Well, turning our attention closer to home in the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League, the Maudsley Excavations Cup, the women's competition, the wins to Gympie 24-8 over Caboolture, Maroochydore 30-10 over Noosa, and Nambour defeated South Burnett Beerwa. Kawana had the bye. Gympie on top of the competition by 3 points from Caboolture and Maroochydore. It's a bye round for all women this weekend, but again, some tightly contested games there, and Gympie's win over Caboolture, pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, that's a good win for Gympie. They were undefeated for a large portion of the comp, and then they'd lost a couple on the trot. So that's two wins in a row for them, I think, off the top of my head. And to beat Caboolture, who had beaten them a couple of weeks previously. So, yeah, Gympie seemed to be the team to beat, but Caboolture will be strong. And, it's hard to know I'm not sure who Caboolture, if I'm missing anyone or whatever. And Maroochydore, they'll definitely be one to watch as well. A lot of attacking flair on that Maroochydore side. So they'll be, I think they're probably, Kiwanis there or thereabouts as well. It's a really open comp this year, which is good to see.
It's great to see. Well, in the South East Queensland Women's Division 1, Round 10, West defeated Tweed, Burley defeated Toowoomba, and East defeated Brothers. Wests are on top of the women's competition there by 3 points from East, and Round 11 this weekend on Saturday, West will play South, Ipswich, Toowoomba, and Tweed will take on Burley. East have the bye. But closer to home at Coolum, City Country Carnival, the Queensland Police Women will take on Sunshine Coast Ladies Team this weekend, Amy.
Yeah, part of the City Council, the Glen Rees Cultural Exchange Junior Carnival that's taking place up at Coolum on the Saturday night. We've got the Sunny Coast rep side. It's picked purely from girls playing in our local competition. So we haven't none of the Sunny Coast eligible girls that play in the Brisbane comp. They must be playing in our local competition. and it's a good side there. Chris Bugden's been working with them over the last week or two, and they're playing against the Queensland Police, Queensland Police women's side. They were picked, they had a City Country game here a couple of months ago up at Noosa, and we selected a side, and yeah, I was down there at the Police Academy today, feeling a bit nervous around all the police, but yeah, did some work with them, and it'll be a great game of footy. It'll be, it'll be really interesting to see. A lot of the police ladies don't get to play a lot of regular football, but they, they're fit and they're very strong mentally in that. So it'll just be interesting to see how they go against the Sunny Coast girls who have the, obviously have the opportunity to play sort of week in, week out footy. But yeah, if you're up the end of the coast Saturday night, come along to Coolum because it'll be a good game of footy.
I'm sure it will be. Well, now the NRL women's competition, that kicks off in September, and that's aligned with the men's final series. Now, there's been a couple of changes to rules and recruitment. So there's a new cap system, points awarded to players for test and state of origin appearances, and each club's allowed to sign 22 players whose value totals a maximum of 120 points and minimum of 120, maximum of 160 points. So that's an interesting concept. Sounds similar to basketball.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I think based on the point system they said last year, you know, Brisbane would have been the only side that was outside this point system, if that makes sense. So, but there's been some massive changes in rosters. The women's contracts are only year to year. There's no 2 or 3 or 4 year deals. It's season to season. So, yeah, there's already been some major changes. Brittany Brearley, obviously she was more or less player of the competition last year. She's gone to St George. I think that was announced yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
And a couple of others. St George have also nabbed Kimmy Natty, Foja Mawala and Federica from the Broncos. So there's some massive signings for St George. But, Annette Brand has come back the other way. She's you know, a local Sunny Coast girl. She'll be playing for Brisbane this year and a couple other good signings for them. So it's going to be interesting times, I think. A bit like last year, it'll depend on who gets the best pre-season, for want of a better word, and who gets clicking first. Obviously, we saw last year Brisbane were a couple of weeks in front of everyone and the others were playing catch-up. So it'll be obviously another good comp. Be interesting. I think some of those under 18 girls we saw Friday night, I think there'll be a couple of girls in there. They may not get much game time, but there'll be a couple of clubs looking to sort of squad them and give them some experience at that next level.
Yes, so as you said, a lot of player transfer and movements, and probably very similar to the silly season in the men's at the moment before the 30th of June deadline. But Amy, just finally, your thoughts on State of Origin Game 2 in Perth, a comprehensive loss to Queensland.
Rather not discuss it. No, comprehensive is the word. It was that was hard to watch, and Kevin Walters sort of said it all in his press conference. But it was frustrating to say the least. They were, I don't know, you don't like to say it, but Queensland, New South just wanted it more, which is embarrassing if you're a Queenslander, and like, that was obvious. So hopefully they caught the fair roasting, and those fellas will watch the video themselves. And be interesting to see if there's any changes. I don't think we need to panic. But yeah, if Joy Arrow or Offren Gowie are fit, they'd come back in, and we'll see how Kevy handles it.
Yes, it will be very interesting. And of course, the only thing I could put it down to is maybe they were suffering from jet lag for the trip to Perth.
It's not that far away, is it, Gordon?
No, it's not. It's not.
It'd be nice to use that. Flat's the word. It was, I don't know whether they went in a bit cocky, but you know, all the media, all the pressure was on New South after their 7 changes, and they were just brilliant. New South, they, like I said, they just wanted it more. Tommy Turbo out wide, and Maloney did his job. I thought Cleary was playing his best Origin before he got hurt, and they were just humming. But Queensland just showed no urgency in anything, really. Couldn't get out of our own end, and New South kicked well. They didn't. They nullified Gagai and Oates' chargebacks, and we just couldn't get going.
That's exactly right. It just seems as if they left the motor in the dressing room. Well, Amy Bock, it's been great to chat with you about all things in Women's Rugby League. Just a final reminder about the Queensland Police Women taking on the Sunshine Coast team this weekend at Coolum. Time and venue of that, please, Amy.
Coolum Sports Ground. It's David Lowe Way. I can't remember the number, sorry. But, yeah, Coolum Sports Ground, you'll find it. And 6:30 kick-off, I believe. But there'll be some great junior football played all day. It's a really great carnival, the Glen Rees Cultural Exchange. There's no scores. It's all local Sunny Coast sides aren't there. The top Falcons players. It's development squads, and Brisbane send up the same sort of thing. And to the Western Queensland guys. There's people on a, there's kids on a bus from Mount Isa as we speak doing a 24-hour bus trip to come down and play footy on the Sunshine Coast. So it's a really great, great carnival, great atmosphere. There's no, as I said, no scores, no clocks. You just play footy and have fun. And yeah, if you've got some time, come up and have a look, because it's footy played as kids' footy should be played.
Thanks, Amy Bock, for joining us here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM Sport. Gee, The Grapple returns. That's wonderful, Steve, isn't it? We're here. The Three Musketeers. Yeah. Where's the fourth musketeer?
Well, which one? We have several.
Fifth,
fourths.
Sixth, seventh, eighth.
Eighth, ninth.
Yes, maybe we need a reserves bench
when
or something.
When I first started, you couldn't get a chair in here. Now there's plenty of empty chairs.
Exactly right.
Obviously, they must think you're doing a good job, guys.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We'll leave that alone. But we do need to follow up from... that was a great chat with Amy. Gee, a lot happening in women's rugby league, isn't there? Enormous amount of...
I watched probably 80% of that game the other night. It was a top quality game of football.
And isn't women's rugby really taking off? It's just going gangbusters.
It certainly is.
It's not only just women's rugby, but women's sport.
Sport in general.
Yeah. It's a delight to have it all coming together on our radio program.
It really is.
Yeah.
So two good results there on the for New South Wales, of course, on the Friday night in the 18s and the women's main State of Origin game with wins over Queensland. And, of course, as we just spoke with Amy in the last chat, State of Origin game two in Perth. Well, New South Wales... the series will go to a decider. What could you say? Thrashing, crushing, belting, hammering, Queensland, 38-6, 59,721 fans. But the hat-trick by Tom Trbojevic in the centre of the ruck area, and a double by Josh Adokar and James Maloney, and that was in the heavy rain. That's certainly probably one of the best Blues performances in over a decade.
Oh, without a doubt. I was trying to think when was the last time a New South Walesman went in for a hat-trick.
Well, it was a few years ago, but they were allowed to play. That's the thing. There was no moving up from Queensland. And, of course, after game one, we said, where to for New South Wales? Well, Freddie Fittler, seven changes, seven debutants and all of that sort of thing. Coach Whisperer didn't help Kevvy Walters because now it's where to for Queensland. But Amy said maybe they don't need to panic. Let's see what happens. Selections this weekend.
I have my own conspiracy theories about all that.
Well, we'll keep those in the studio, Shane. We won't go anywhere with those.
Because they are only conspiracies.
Yes.
I reckon it's got merit, actually. It's all about the ratings.
We tend to say that every year, but don't we if we lose.
Yes, well, we certainly do. Well, of course, Queensland's only score in the match was a penalty try in the 13th minute in the first half, and that was somewhat dubious. But Nathan Cleary not coming back, and then, of course, Maloney to halfback, and then Wade Graham to 5-8. Well, they had all the room in the field to move up the centre of the ruck area, and that's where they belted Queensland.
You've got to ask yourself, though, how can Queensland be so darn good one week and so darn bad the next?
Oh,
seriously.
That's what we're all asking.
Conspiracy theory certainly has its merits.
I think it was more mentally prepared, I think. They went over there, and I reckon they just went in there thinking they're going to have this one because they played so well in the first game. They dominated the first game, and it didn't work in the second.
No mention of jet lag there, was there?
No, there certainly wasn't. Maybe they flew over earlier. Well, the Blues have now won the last three Origin games at a neutral venue, adding Perth to their victories in Melbourne in 2018 and 2015. So game three at ANZ in Sydney, 10th of July, selections this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that with Macca. And I don't think there'll be too many changes, though, to either teams at this stage. Certainly not the seven that Coach Freddie Fittler introduced after the
game. You certainly wouldn't think that'd change much at all.
You wouldn't think so. But we'll see what Macca has to say. Well, listeners, last weekend, of course, was Rep Round. As we know, we've spoken to Amy about all the women's results. Well, in the other games, of course, at Ringrose Oval Friday night, there was a 2021 World Cup qualifier. Cook Island 66 defeated South Africa 6. A lot of sixes in there, just as well we're not New Zealanders. So Saturday night at Mount Smart Stadium, well, Sean Johnson made a triumphant return to Mount Smart, scoring two tries, New Zealand 34-14 over Tonga in their inaugural Oceania Cup test. That was a great game, Steve and Shane.
What a wallop.
How good was Benji Marshall?
He was back the emotion. To his old, wasn't it great?
And it was good to see him the way he teared up at the start and all that. It's
first test in 7 years.
It was brilliant.
And, broke down into tears during the national anthem before leading the Haka. Now, what a great honour. The national anthem, lead the Haka, and he's crying his eyes out. emotion, passion.
And how much passion is he going to bring back to club football this weekend from an experience of playing test football again?
Well, those guys won't look back. I mean, they'll be different men after that.
Well, that's exactly right. So let's see what happens tonight, because the Rabbits will be taking on the West Tigers, and Benji Marshall back in the Tigers team. So it certainly was a great win by New Zealand. Young hooker Brandon Smith, he certainly he opened the scoring with a sensational 35-metre try, and then he set Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, RTS, up after half-time. He had a wonderful game. So did Jerome Hughes from the Melbourne Storm on debut, and Joseph Manu, well, he rounded out New Zealand's scoring. So it was a great great match, great win by New Zealand. Of course, well coached by the West Tigers coach, Michael Maguire. Let's hope he can bring that form to tonight's match against the England coach, Wayne Bennett. So an interesting clash of international coaches tonight.
It certainly is.
In first game of round 15. Well, on the other side, or this side of the ditch, we should say, listeners, Robbie Farah announced his retirement from rep football after Lebanon. They got belted by Fiji 58-14. And, it was a week of turmoil. You didn't know whether the Lebanese team was playing or not playing, or not allowing their emblems to be shown. But, the two wingers, Vunivalu from the Storm and Maika Sive from the Parramatta Eels, they scored a double, so certainly had the firepower out wide, Shane and Steve, there in the Fiji side.
Really good game.
It certainly was, and it just shows you the class of those two wingers, and they led 34-4 at half-time. Well, the night finished with Samoa and PG, and Samoa, they beat Papua New Guinea 24-6, and, of course, coach Matt Parrish praised the efforts of Marty Tapau in his first game back in Samoan colours in 6 years. And he certainly had a strong game. So the try to Junior Paulo with 14 minutes killed off any chance of the Kumuls comeback, and it was an arm wrestle, and 12-6 at halftime lead to Samoa. But again, another important match for the Pacific Islanders, Steve.
But how good is the whole concept of the rounds that we've had?
Oh, it's fantastic. Exactly right.
You get to see a lot of different countries play against other countries that you not normally we wouldn't have get, and guys get to play for those countries now.
Well, the Oceania Cup, Australia was the third team involved. They'll play their test later this year against New Zealand in Wollongong and Tonga at Eden Park in Auckland. So that's to follow later this year. So that's, again, a continuation.
It's like having a mini World Cup just in one weekend.
It certainly is, well and truly.
Good like that,
And that's good for the fans, good for the supporters. And
International Rugby League all round.
Yes, it exactly was. And great venue there at Leichhardt Oval. But some good matches. So let's have a look at some rugby league news. Well, Wayne Bennett pounced on Brisbane young gun forward Jaden Sewer. The 21-year-old will jump ship from Brisbane and join South Sydney before the 30th of June transfer deadline. So as we said, silly season. Silly, silly, silly.
And Kevy Walters still in the news.
No, not yet. Not yet. But player movement before the 30th of June deadline.
And not a big fan. Not a big fan of this player movement at all, to be honest.
No, not during the season, I think.
Because pretty much if you've got a contract, you should stay there for that season. Not leave halfway through because you don't like the coach. I mean, I can understand it happening because some of the new coaches come in and they got the roster. They mightn't want that roster.
Bad luck.
Too bad.
It is a silly season for a reason. I mean, just about all the codes around the place, AFL and now NRL, are all having it. What's going to stop it?
You just don't have you don't allow the other transfers. Simple as that.
Good idea.
That's all you've got to do. No transfer period. Right. That's the way it would work. And of course, our Parramatta Eels, well, they have continued their bold recruitment. Yes, you've got your Parramatta Eels shirt on there, Steve.
I better take a photo and send it to Mooney.
Exactly right. Now, they've signed Penrith centre Walker Blake before the 30th of June deadline. Good signing. Big, strong, tall, fast. And it's incredible. And here we talk about players moving on. In October last year, Walker signed an extension with the Panthers to keep him at the club till 2023. Here we are, 2019, 6 months later, and he's moving on to the Eels. So contracts aren't worth the piece of paper they're written on. And I'm just wondering, though, you've got Blake Ferguson on the wing and you've got Walker Blake. So when the high kick's put up, Blake, it's your ball. So which one will it be?
I often wonder what goes through some of these coaches, player managers' minds and stuff when they start recruiting players at the moment this time.
Who's making money out of this? That's all I'd like to know.
Well, the managers do.
Player managers are making a lot
and
of money.
And clubs are freeing up a bit of space on their salary cap, supposedly. But and the revolving door at the Warriors, well, they've hooker Carl Lawton, he's added 2 years to his contract, and Josh Curran's also. But the Warriors, very tight-lipped about the possibility of a massive deal for Brisbane prop Matthew Lodge.
Yeah, I heard this afternoon that the Brisbane are still confident of keeping him. But why is everybody from Brisbane
bailing ship, moving
and,
out?
And it's all the older guys that are staying there at Brisbane, and it's the younger ones that are coming through that they've signed. Obviously, Bennett signed for a reason, and they're not sticking around. So behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. Now, five-season centre Solomon Carter was released by the Warriors. He's joined the Melbourne Storm as well. And Lodge 24 said he is considering the offers, including staying in Brisbane, although Auckland has some appeal as his partner's father is Warriors recruitment boss Peter O'Sullivan, formerly at the Roosters. Family connections.
Might get a little bit more money out of that one.
Yes, you never know. Now, Tyrone Peachey at the Titans, possibly going back to Panthers,
I've
6 months into his contract.
I've heard this afternoon it's pretty much all but done.
All but done. Yes.
So once again, what's the contract worth these
exactly
days in
right.
rugby league?
And West Tigers Chief Executive Justin Pascoe. Now, he said he hasn't spoken to Ivan Cleary, the coach at the Penrith Panthers, since he left the Tigers at the end of 2018. He's now back with the Tigers following his six-month suspension for failing to declare an ambassadorial role offered to Robbie Farah 3 years ago. And he was instrumental in bringing Ivan Cleary to the Tigers, as well as his successor, Michael Maguire. But following Cleary's messy departure to Penrith, Pascoe and Cleary, who were once close, have not been in touch.
I thought it was quite amusing when I saw that article, and they said the first week he went and stood up on the hill and it was raining, and he said the first thing that he declared he was going to do was no umbrellas at Leichhardt Oval, because he said you can't see
you
when you're at the
back. You can't see the footy. Exactly right. But, Justin Pascoe back in the fold. And he certainly won't forget to ever reveal if he signs anyone to an ambassadorial role again.
From his interview the other night on the TV, he seems to have a lot of great ideas for the West Tigers moving forward too.
Well, let's see what happens there. Main thing will be to win a game tonight. Now, Wayne Bennett, and he doesn't control that. Wayne Bennett made a whistle stop tour to the UK as he's stepping up preparations to oversee the Great Britain tour. Now, they're going to Papua New Guinea and New Zealand later this year. And it's also claimed, though, that he tried to lure highly acclaimed forward Luke Thompson from St Helens. So interesting to note that the St Helens chairman, Eamon McManus, said, you're letting the fox into the chicken coop. This is a coach at an NRL club, not just an Australian who is coaching England as his full-time job. The Rugby Football League in England is paying him handsomely to coach our players, not poach our players. Cop that, Wayne.
I guess you can have two hats, couldn't you?
Yes, you can, but you would think a little bit of, well, we'll leave that alone. Anyway, let's see.
What Wayne wants, Wayne
usually Wayne will get,
gets.
So Luke Thompson, he'll be after the rabbits, well and truly. So he also hinted that next year could see a return to the old school kangaroo tours with midweek games against clubs. I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It
it's
would
wonderful.
Be fantastic.
Player development, local crowds and rugby league. Wonderful playing at Lee or Batley or somewhere like that over there. Incredible.
Used to love getting up in the middle of the night and watching those when you were a young fella, kangaroo tours.
And interesting to note that Newcastle apparently have taken their search for a hooker overseas with Castleford Rake, Paul McShane, linked to the club. Now, I know we've mentioned a number of times young Levi that they've got there at the moment. They certainly do need a top-quality hooker, I believe, to enhance the club. And they've made a move to sign the experienced 29-year-old who has played 120 games for Castleford. And he's with the Tigers for another 2 or 3 seasons, so there could be a transfer fee that needs to be paid. So let's see what the Knights do there. Castleford, they're eyeing off Cronulla winger Soasai Feke. He's off contract at the end of the season, and they're also saying that West Tigers outside back Mahe Fanua could link up with Hull FC, where he was a fan favourite during his last stint back in the club there in 2016-17.
So it sounds like there's movements going both ways with us and them at the moment.
It certainly does appear to be that way, Steve. And, one that certainly brought a smile to my face with former West Tigers forward Garth Ellis, announced he's going to play on into 2020. He's 38 years old, came out of retirement earlier this year for Hull FC's reserve grade before he was thrown back into the top grade when injuries hit the first grade team. So he was a wonderful stalwart for the West Tigers, runs a fantastic line on the angle coming back, and 38, and he's helped Hull FC out over there immensely. And Mark Minicello, now he's off contract with Hull at the end of the year. He's only 37. He looks like hanging up his boots at the end of the season as well.
Oh, go on. One more year.
One more year.
Go on. You can do it.
And St Helens, well, they're leading the English Super League, 34 points. Warrington on 28, Hull on 24, Catalans on 20. Now, there's no ISC games this weekend, listeners, with round 15. Sorry, there are no ISC games last weekend.
Oh.
Round 15 coming up this weekend, and the Falcons take on the Dolphins, so that's the local derby.
Oh, that'll
should be a great
match.
Game.
Yep.
Falcons up against Redcliffe, great game there. And plenty of action in the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League last weekend. Gympie defeated Caloundra, Maroochydore lost to Nambour, Kiwana defeated Noosa, and Beerwert defeated Caboolture 22-12. Stanley Rivers had the bye. And as we said on Monday Sports Roundup, Shane, Stanley River leading the comp on 44,
Beerwert
43, Caboolture 41, Gympie 37 with Nambour.
Not much in it,
35.
Is there?
Not much in it at all. Now this weekend, Caloundra take on Maroochydore, Nambour, Beerwert, Caboolture, Gympie and Noosa take on Stanley River, and Kiwana have the bye. And in the Brisbane Rugby League, last weekend, round 12, last weekend was a bye. This weekend, Tigers and Magpies, Die Hard Seagulls and Panthers will take on the Dolphins. So some great games coming up there in the Brisbane Rugby League A grade this weekend. Can't wait for the Noosa Stanley River game and Caboolture Gympie in the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League Division 1 this weekend. Should be fantastic. And we'll certainly chat more about those later on. But we're going to come up to our next break here on The Grapple. And after the break, we're joined by Macca. And we've got a little surprise for Macca, haven't we, Shane? Just a little surprise.
You just wait, ladies.
Just a little surprise. Here on The Grapple, 101.5 FM Sports.
To The Grapple, where we replay memories of last week on the 6th of the 20th.
I thought in game one, Queensland would be very difficult to beat in Queensland, and that was the way it came out, but there were periods of the game in New South Wales I thought dominated. A lot of changes in the New South Wales side. I think they've probably got more points in them this time. I'm going to go for Queensland to win to take the series, which would mean a dead rubber in Sydney.
That was on the last grapple. But then, on Monday, this was said.
What's kept you? I've been waiting here for the last hour to talk rugby league, talk about New South Wales, talk about Origin.
But you picked Queensland as well.
No, I did until 10:07 last night.
Last night.
I did an interview with a radio station in Sydney, and the rain and James Maloney's kicking game. I jumped ship, Gordon, at 7:10 last night onto New South Wales.
It's back to you, The Grapple.
And with that introduction, evening, Macca.
Well, that was true. Exactly what happened. I'll have to produce the audio of that and play it at some stage to you. What a wonderful exhibition of rugby league by the Blues. They just blew Queensland away. And isn't it funny, Origin throws this up every year. One side is on top of the world, and then the game follows, and then the opposition takes that mantle. So Queensland now with all the issues to come leading into game three.
Well, all of us here at The Grapple says, well, what a wonderful turnaround for yourself.
Well, it was. Unfortunately, I'm not a punter. I could well have done well out of that, but being a good Christian boy and a referee and work for council, this is what happens.
Exactly right. We thought, Macca, that lay down Sally in rowing was comparable to your backflip, but it's not as big as Tim Manor backflipping on the move to the Tigers, nor Blake Ferguson's somersault in February this year after he scored a try.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And, you know, it's the way the game goes and the roundabouts that go with the game. And look, it just sets up a wonderful third game. Queensland backs against the wall, and that's when they're at their most dangerous, court.
I can't wait for your prediction for this week.
Yes, you're exactly
right.
We'll
have to make that next week.
We'll make that next week.
Too much excitement this week.
Probably change three times. Macca, does Queensland have enough depth to make changes? Can they win back the series? Is Kevin Walters' job under threat? Who replaces Cleary? And will there be any more changes with the Blues? They are some vexing questions.
Yes, and there's one answer. Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith is the name that's on everyone's lips in New South Wales, that they expect him to run out in the number 9 jersey. And it's funny, there hasn't been much said this week, except there's an article I read last night where Wayne Bennett, they took us back to 2002, when Alan Langer came back and played. In fact, I'll tell you a little story about that. I had to sign the clearance for him to come over to play in Origin because I was working at the league at the time. And it came in across my office, and I sort of sat there and pondered it for a while, and in the end put my signature on his clearance. So he was able to play for Queensland against New South Wales.
Well, you've helped Queensland immensely in that regard, Macca.
Oh, well, don't tell too many people that,
mate. people north of the border.
Maybe I
home.
Shouldn't have said anything there. I should have kept quiet.
Now, we always knew you were a strong Queensland supporter, even if you did backflip.
Well, I refereed 5 Origin games and they won 3.
They won 3. I know that.
3 out of 5. Yep.
Not a bad record. So, Macca, selections this weekend, I don't anticipate too many changes. Probably David Clement coming in for New South Wales. Will they keep Maloney at halfback?
I think so. That's the way to go. I wouldn't be contemplating bringing Mitchell Pearce in. I think the opportunity to bring him in has now passed. Maloney was so dominant in the performance. He's a big match player. Wade Graham is a big match player as well. I think he should be 6. Obviously some concerns about lessening the impact off the bench, but I think this is a winner takes all game, so you need to play Wade Graham at 6. So Maloney 7, Wade Graham 6 for me. And what a great player to come back into the side after his performance in game 1 in David Clemmer.
Certainly, we'll add some punch to that forward pack. Well, Macca, let's see what happens with these selections. And just quickly, yesterday, the NRL has flagged its intention to drive the dreaded crusher tackle and late hits out of the game, with Graham Annesley announcing that crusher tackles graded on the serious end of the scale will be referred directly to the judiciary.
Yeah, they did the same with the shoulder charge a few years ago when I was working with them. And you know, you've got to be careful you don't overreact, but the same time, you know, with these stories about the concussion and head injuries and whatever, you cannot have players being put in that position where someone of 110 kilos plus drops down on the back of the neck of a player. That's just a despicable thing to happen in the game. The two players that did it recently, I think, are fortunate to only be out in Fifita's case for, well, 3 games now because he took it to the judiciary and lost, and young Barnett out for a couple of games. So they're terrible. They were two terrible incidents. And, you know, apart from picking a player up and spearing them into the ground, dropping on their back of the neck is the worst possible thing that can happen to a player.
I agree totally, and let's see that is driven out of the game. Well, round 15, Macca, the NRL, what I call the Leyland Brothers round. We're in Adelaide for the grand final replay. We're off to Darwin. All starts tonight. State of Origin 3.
That's very good for you, Gordon. That's very clever.
Oh, thank you very much, Macca.
It's a very clever analogy of the round of rugby league. That's very good.
Mate, it took me 3 days to work that out. I did play in the forwards. So State of Origin 3. And tonight we start with the West Tigers up against the South Sydney Rabbits at the Magpies, I should say, the West Tigers' reluctant home ground with 79 6-points scored against them in 2 games. But it's the battle of the international coaches.
It is. It is a fascinating game. Tonight, Souths have really struggled, haven't they, over the last 4 or 5 weeks through Origin. They've had players out injured and suspended. And look, I think it's a great opportunity for the Tigers to, you know, put that albatross away playing at that ground, because they're going to play plenty of games there in the future. Let's go with the Tigers tonight to beat the Souths. And it pains me to say it because I'm a bit of a Souths closet supporter over the last couple of years, as you know, but they're just not right at the moment. I think the Tigers might be too good.
Well, I've gone the Tigers. Robbo's gone the Tigers. Shane Moon's gone for the Rabbits. Steve, you're going for?
The Rabbits.
You're going for the Rabbits. And then Friday night, the first game, St George Illawarra Dragons up against the North Sydney Cowboys down there at Wollongong. Scott Drinkwater making his debut for the Cowboys at fullback. No Josh Maguire. Tyson Frizzell in good form. Your selection, Macca.
Yeah, I think the Dragons might kick on now. I think they've had their run of poor form. I think the Cowboys, they've had a couple of games go against them the last couple of weeks, and particularly some poor decisions, which Paul Green has been quite vocal in saying. And I think it might have broken their back a little bit. I think that the Dragons at their second home ground down at Wollongong will be too strong. On the back of their forwards, I think their forwards might get a roll on in that game and come away with the points.
Everyone's gone for the Dragons, Steve. You're going the Dragons. Yeah, Dragons. Unanimous selection there. Now the Roosters up against the Storm in Adelaide, and grand final replay. All the players back for the Storm. Roosters, well, let's hope that all of their players are fit and well. And I notice Brett Morris is on the bench at the moment, but Macca, should be a great game.
Yeah, it should be, but it's just a bit tainted by Origin. You know, I'd love to see these replays of big games and grand final replays played away from Origin. I think whatever happens in this game, it'll be close. The last 2 years have been close, field goal, I think, in both games. But I just think a little bit's taken away with the timing of the game. I think Melbourne Storm, really difficult to beat in this sort of game. I think they'll bounce back and get some revenge on the Roosters, who I think are a few weeks away from really getting back into the groove. I expect them to do that, but I don't expect it to be this weekend.
Yes, well, I think everyone's gone for the Storm except for Robbo. He's gone for the Roosters, and Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Roosters.
Going for the Roosters. And I think probably a very fit Cameron Smith, Macca, could be the difference in the game.
Well, it'll be a good warm-up for
State of Origin. That's why I mentioned it. Dear, oh dear, there must be a lot of whispers out there. Well, Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, the Gold Coast Titans, they'll take on the Manly Sea Eagles. Now, the Titans have won their past three games against Manly, scoring 110 points, and they're at home this weekend, Macca.
And they flogged them a few weeks ago at Brookvale. Manly led early, and I think they put 38 points on them. So I don't think it'll help them this week, though. I think Manly, with the Trbojevic brothers, hopefully they'll be fit to play. They're starting to get their troops back, Manly. They're starting to look like a top eight contender, whereas you can't say that about the Titans. Although, having said that, the last few, probably last month or so, the last few weeks, they've played pretty good footy, but I think they'll be well outplayed by the Sea Eagles in this game.
Yes, I tend to think that will be the same. And Robbo's gone for the Tigers, Titans, though. Shane's gone for Manly. Steve?
Manly.
You're going for the Sea Eagles as well. And I noticed Kevin Proctor could be a starter for the Gold Coast. He'll certainly add some starch to their forward pack, Macca.
So I like him. I think he's been a good player for a long time and certainly need all of their troops on. Yeah, all teams do, but the Titans in particular. They're missing Ryan James badly this year. He was a big loss for them.
Exactly right. Well, the second game on Saturday night at 5:30 up there at Newcastle. The Newcastle Knights, they take on the Brisbane Broncos. Is this the crunch game for the Broncos, sitting down there and 12 points and the Knights on 16? Broncos, they're 2 points out of the eight. Eels in the eighth spot on 14 points. How important a match is this for Anthony Seibold?
Yeah, it's the big divide, because if they lose, then the teams ahead of them get a big jump on them for the top eight. But it's an equally important game for the Knights, who had that great run of victories before they were crushed in their last game by Melbourne Storm. So, look, it's a big game for both. It's almost the match of the round, I think, in terms of importance. I'm predicting that the Broncos, I think there's some wins ahead of them. It's been disappointing. It's been a struggle for them this year. But when they have played well, they're a very good, attractive attacking side. And look, I'm going to lean for them in a bit of an upset win over the home side.
Well, I'm going the Knights. Robbo's gone the Knights. Shane's Moon's gone the Knights. And Steve?
Knights.
You're going for the Knights as well. And, of course, Macca, now that you've made your prediction, let you know that the Broncos have won six of their seven past games against the Knights.
Well, there you go. I'm feeling like I did when I was a referee on my own.
You don't want to, you don't want to change that
style? No one wants to come with me with the Broncos. Anyway, that's okay.
That's okay. You'll stand alone.
Life will go on.
Now, the final game then on Saturday night, the Parramatta Eels up against the Canberra Raiders. Now, that's up in Darwin. And Josh Hodgson back for the Raiders.
And that's why they'll win. He's such an important, influential player. I'd go the other way if he wasn't playing. But the fact that he's playing, that's enough for me to suggest that they'll kickstart the Raiders. And Parramatta, you know, they're very inconsistent. Sometimes they'll score 30 points. Sometimes they have 30 points scored against them. Now, I think recently they scored 30 or 38 points. So my prediction is that the Raiders will do the job on them.
Steve?
Para.
You're going for the Eels. It's good to see you sticking firm. It's great to see that Shane Moon has stuck with the Eels for a change this weekend as well. All of us, rest of us are going for the Raiders. Sunday afternoon over there at Mount Smart Stadium, the Warriors take on the Panthers. The Warriors have lost their last four games at Mount Smart Stadium. Macca?
Yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? Yeah, that's where they should be winning. Every round that they play at home should be a banker for them. And that's the only way that they'll ever make an impression in the competition, to lose four in a row. Although the Panthers didn't start the season off too well. They lost plenty of games at home, but they've won their last, what, three or four games. I think they'll win, the Panthers. I think they're on a bit of a roll. Cleary being out, I don't think it'll impact greatly on them. You know, he's been playing a funny sort of game all year. He's been playing like an extra forward. So with Maloney, he'll be pulling the reins in that game, and I think they'll go okay. So the Panthers for me.
Well, I'm going the Warriors. Rob has gone the Warriors. Shane's gone the Panthers. And Steve, you're going?
Panthers.
You're going the Panthers. And the final game, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at ANZ Stadium, the Bulldogs up against the Sharks. And the Sharks will have won their past five games against the Dogs, Macca, but Aidan Tolman, what a loyal servant for the game. He plays his 250th NRL game for the Dogs.
Yeah, and a great team man, but he's copping a fair bit of criticism in a lot of areas. He seems to get hold of the ball when they're attacking, you know, 10 metres out from the line, and people are saying that he should be hooked and whatever, but he's been a great player for them, a real good club man. I don't think anything's different in the lead-up to this game. The Bulldogs will play quite a conservative game. Their completion rate will be about 85%, but it won't be good enough to beat the Sharks.
No, I think we're all going for the Sharks on that basis. And interesting to note, when you're talking about Aidan Tolman, West Magpies had a player called Paul Merlot, who we nicknamed Araldite, because he wouldn't let the ball go once he got hold of it, Macca.
I remember him. Wholehearted player, but yes, a bit of a hog.
Yeah, it's very similar to, not similar to Aidan Tolman, but once he got hold of that ball, he would never let it go, well and truly.
No, that's right.
So well and truly there. Well, Macca, it's been great to chat this evening, and we won't refer to you as Backflip in the future, but we'll look forward to your State of Origin selection next Thursday night here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM Sports.